Hello, beautiful, and welcome to day 24 of Shine From Within. Well, it's time to talk about our exes, our ex-lovers, ex-partners, ex-spouses, and even our ex-jobs, our ex-experiences. It's really talking about our past and how we can move on, how we can find the blessings in the past, however horrific it may have been at the time or seemed at the time, how we can actually see it as a blessing and what it taught us so that we can move forward in our new and beautiful life. If you are familiar with my past at all, if you've listened to my podcast, Stepping Into the Light, or read my book, then you have an idea of what I've been through in my lifetime. Some people might think, oh, Julia's got this, you know, she's had this amazing, beautiful, easygoing life. And it is now. But I think I've come to the conclusion that I was supposed to go through a lot in this lifetime so that I could literally tell people, anyone that I connected to, I've been through it. I've done it. I know what you feel. I know what you're going through. I really feel that's what I signed up to do. I'm just going to go through every fucking horrid event so that I can connect with everyone that ever reaches out to me. So if you aren't familiar with my history, my past, where do I begin? I was born into a preacher's family. I'm a PK, a preacher's kid. My dad is a Baptist minister. And I think it's at the age of five, six, somewhere in there, I started being molested by neighborhood children. It was actually a family of children across the street. Carried guilt from that for many, many years that I just had this epiphany just a few years back that I had held on to the guilt that I did not somehow protect other children from being molested by them because others were. A six-year-old taking on that burden of I didn't tell anyone, I didn't do anything, I didn't say anything. So skipping forward, I think 14 might have been, oh, let me back up. Wait, was it 14? Sorry, I'm trying to remember. So things that happened to me, I may not have the right timeline as far as age, but around 14, I was in love with a 19-year-old boy, man, whatever you want to call him, and you know, had never had sex before, and when that came up, I didn't want to, and I was raped. I was actually tied up and raped while his friend in the other room, as I cried for help, did nothing. So I was raped at 14. Then taken to it, you know, go. I had actually skipped school when that happened. Skipped school to be with him, and told my parents that night, I think. I can remember some of it, but I don't know all the details. I don't remember, nor do I have to. But told my parents, who had always taught me that abortion was a sin and a terrible thing to do, and that even that morning after pill that they give you was a bad thing to do. Yet, taken to the doctor the next day with my mom. My mom took me just to have me checked out, and yes, I had been violated, and I refused to call the police. I didn't want to. Of course, I was scared. I was a 14-year-old terrified little girl. And they gave me the morning after pill, which my mom asked them to, right? So, again, this is not the blame game. I'm trying to help you understand where we get these stories. And my mom just wanted to protect her daughter. I'm sure, like, hey, well, we just, you know, we can't have this. She can't become pregnant because of this. So did the morning after pill, which was very troublesome for me for some reason. Then met the, you know, a teen still after that, recovered from that, met the love of my life, a boy about the same age as me. And, you know, I was what they call the black sheep. I was, I've always been called that, but now I understand that I'm actually the anchor of light. So many of us that are anchors of light went through a lot to understand that we are an anchor of light. That has all to do with today's lesson. So, you know, my boyfriend and I, we did smoke pot at the time. I think I was 15, maybe 16, 15-ish. you know, we smoked pot, we skipped school, and guarantee I would have done it whether I was dating him or not. But it was the lifestyle that my parents had not really hoped that their daughter would begin to embrace. And so I would skip school. I mean, I was what they would call a troubled teen. I didn't see it that way. I was just having fun. So as life continued to unfold and my boyfriend and I got so serious and my parents saw me plummeting, and so their solution was that we would move to another state. That was going to fix everything. So we started the arrangements. I was devastated because I'm leaving this boyfriend that I'm in love with, madly in love with. Oh my God, I am devastated. And, you know, as we got ready, you know, as the move, I think we kind of had, I had to say goodbye to him, and I knew we were moving in a few weeks or a month or something. Again, I don't know the exact timeline. And I mean, I was crying nonstop. Like, I was just crying and crying. I was in so much pain. Like, my heart was just crushed. And so one night I couldn't stop crying. And my mom's like, you know, why don't we go to the hospital? We're going to go to the hospital and see if they can help you. And I was picturing the hospital, the regular hospital that they go, maybe give you a pill to make you feel better for just a little while. So whatever. Check you out. Just make you feel better. So I said, yes. We get in the car. We go driving. And they pull up at the psych ward. The nut house. Sorry, that's what I call it. And I went ballistic. They actually put me into a mental hospital. And I remember, like, I was so furious with them because I felt like all this manipulation. Like, okay, you're making me move. I have to break up with my boyfriend. I'm so upset. And now you're going to stick me in a mental hospital because I can't embrace that fact. I wasn't suicidal. I wasn't saying anything stupid, like, you know, like, I'm going to do something. It was just, I couldn't stop crying. Well, when you get checked into this place, it's an automatic 2 weeks. It was a kind of some kind of mental hospital where 2 weeks with no, you can't have any communication with anyone on the outside. So here I go in this mental hospital and I'm like, what the fuck? I'm just a teen having fun, and maybe in your eyes looking rebellious, but you're going to stick me in here. So my roommate was a girl, young girl, who had thrown herself out of a window, a three-story window in her house, like 3 or 4 times. She'd cut her wrist. Like, there were schizophrenics in there. There were delusionals in there. I was in the nut house. I was furious. And I remember one group session, because you had to have group sessions and individual sessions. I don't remember any individual sessions, but I remember in this one group session, you had to go around and talk. And one woman in that group, in the circle, she was an older woman. I can't remember her name, but I mean, even though she was a bitch to me at first, we just clicked because it came to me in the circle and they're like, well, what would you like to talk about? Or why are you here? And I'm like, I don't even belong here. Like, I shouldn't be here. And this little old lady across the room, I don't know why I want to say Harriet. So maybe that's her. Maybe she's peeking in right now to say, hey. She was one of the kind of delusional ones. And she screamed at me in front of the group and said, you know, why don't you stop? Why don't you get off your high horse and start talking like the rest of us? And I'm like, I don't know what to say. I shouldn't be here. So I did make some kind of cool friends in there. The young girl that attempted suicide multiple times. And then what I think her name was Harriet. But even the counselors there would tell me, you know, they'd sit with me and they're like, you should not be here. And I'm like, I know. My parents just can't control me. So this is where they put me. So I think my dad's assistant pastor, actually, I was trying to think, he came up to see me. Well, you know, my 2 weeks were up and I refused to see anyone. I wasn't going anywhere. I just, like, that's the rebellious Julie. I'm like, fuck it. I'm staying here. I'm just going to stay here. So I refused to see anyone. And I have no idea how, I don't remember how it happened that it finally turned into that. I guess I said, okay, I'll go home with my parents. I guess I have no idea. I don't remember that part. We did move, right? Like, we moved that week. Maybe it was just to lock me up to make sure I was going with them. I don't know, and it doesn't matter. It's just part of my story. So we moved to a new state, and nothing really changed. I was still the partier, the one that just living her life and being me. And my parents, I think, realized finally that, oh, we tried to move to change her. We still can't change her. I remember asking my mom just a few years back, when before, like, we have an amazing relationship now. It wasn't so amazing back then. And I remember saying, did you, when you gave birth to me, did you like look at me and say, she's going to do everything I want her to? And she said, yes, I did. And I said, well, that was your first mistake. And then I didn't say it, but I wanted to say, and how dare you do that to me? So let me tell you a really powerful thing you can do. It just made me think of this. Is you can close your eyes and like kind of like a imagine that all the people in front of you, like come up in front of you, all the people that you don't want to say it to their face because you would never do it to hurt them because you're a light worker. But it is so powerful to do this on your own. And like I did meditation where I would imagine my mom coming in front of me and just saying, fuck you. How fucking dare you? Fuck you. And I would say it over and over, fuck you, fuck you. And then I would say, I forgive you. It helps to just get that energy out, right? Just ah. And I don't have to say it to her face. It actually helped me release that pent-up energy. So needless to say, we moved to a new state. I find out not too long after that, my boyfriend, who I was crushed that I had to leave, he continued to do, well, they say drugs, marijuana, whatever. That's what we did. That's the only thing we did. And at that time, I did more stuff later, but at that time it was marijuana. And I guess he and his best friend, who was dating my best friend, the two guys, my guy, his name was Joe, and her guy, I'm not going to say his name, but they were together. It was a drug deal gone bad. And the drug dealer, I think, ended up dead. This is just what I heard. I did not read anything about it. I heard it after the fact. And so the guy that I was in love with, Joe, and he went to prison. So what happened is he actually died in prison in a fight. Here's the crazy thing. I was just at Seven Tubs about 2, 3 years ago when I was going through this massive shift of my own, really continuing to step into my power and my light. And I'm sitting at this place, Seven Tubs, where I've talked about, there's seven waterfalls and seven tubs, and it literally just opened up out of the earth one day. And it's one of my favorite places. It's filled with fairies and angels and just rainbows and Archangel Michael and fairy doors. It's magical. And by the way, I am start taking people there now on tours. Like that is what I've got going on. So I'm going to Seven Tubs one day. Now, I have not thought of Joe in eons. Eons. And I'm sitting there watching this water come down a creek, and I'm sitting on these rocks, and it like comes down and it swirls in a little pool. And I just sat there. The sound of water is so healing and soothing for me. I just sat there and listened to this, but I just stared at this little pool. And what I noticed is the water would start coming down. And there's little like foam would start from hitting the rocks, or I don't know where the foam was coming from, but it would pool into a heart. And then it would go back out, and then the water would come back in, and it would be a heart. And it just happened over and over. And I was like mesmerized. And I remember sitting there and I was like, oh my God, who is this? Like, I know my heart just, it just felt like this longing or yearning for someone. I'm like, who is this? And I immediately thought of Joe. His name was Joe Redleaf. We lived right next door to, we lived in a pro a housing, not a project. We lived in a what am I trying to say? Just this certain area where our house was, like the mayor lived in our area and all these people, and then across the highway was the I guess I would call it like the housing projects really for the Indians there, Native Americans. So Joe was, of course, with his last name being Redleaf, was Indian, and I've always had that connection to Native American, so I have no doubt we were together before in a past life. But I thought of him and I was like, it was profound. And I just sat there and watched the the waters come down and form those heart-shaped little, and I literally tried to take a video of it and I couldn't. My phone wouldn't work, and I thought, this is because it's just for me. So that was the day that he stepped forward as one of my guides, and I knew that, oh my God, you've always been by my side. So, you know, my life continued, and I continued this very free spirit sort of living. I mean, I was so popular too. I was like a cheerleader. I was in the choir. I played the harpsichord. I like do it all, right? And I had friends in every clique. I belonged to every clique. Yet have this deep feeling that no one likes me. And I'm sure some of you can actually will get what I'm saying. Very popular, but yet you still have this feeling that they don't like me. So that's our own bullshit story, because we're scared to death of shining our light. So I'm going to fast forward here. I'm just trying to help you understand everything I've overcome, and that I know that we can all overcome everything if we just decide we're going to. Thank you. Next, we're going to talk about that, the importance of that, seeing the blessings in the past. So I'm sure I'm going to miss some things here, but I'm just going to skip to some of the most significant or kind of bigger deals, I guess. So at 19, I moved in with a man who was 35 and ended up getting pregnant with him. Now I was basically tough love. My family wants nothing to do with me. I hadn't talked to my parents in 3 years. I know my dad wanted to, but I think just to not rock the boat, he didn't, because my mom was like, that's it. I don't blame her, believe me. So, lived with him, ended up getting pregnant. And one night, he was in some kind of delusional drunk and literally had a gun up to my head, ready to pull the trigger. And his nephew lived with us at the time. And he was just so jealous. And I don't know why, because he's the one that cheated on me all the time. But yet he thought I was who knows what. I was anorexic. I was 97 pounds and pregnant. And I would literally run. We lived out in the country on a highway. And I would run with this like silver suit on that we used to have back in the day. You could zip them up. And it would help you sweat out more pounds. I don't know why I thought me losing weight would actually stop him from cheating. He cheated all the time. So he did end up pulling the trigger, by the way. He did intend to kill me that night. But his nephew, thank God, and thank the angels and universe who watched over me, had emptied the gun because he knew something was brewing. So the next day, I leave and I have nowhere to go. I have no car. I have nothing. I'm pregnant. I am homeless. Get the word out. Someone from my church that knew me, that family that saved my life, that welcomed me into their home as a young, unwed girl who is pregnant. And I believe, if I remember correctly, I was about 2.5 months pregnant then, or two, something like that. Moving with this amazing family that just, no judgment, we love you. Here, we want to be your next, we want to give you the next chance or whatever. That's not how they worded it, but. So, moved in with them. I ended up actually at 4 months having a miscarriage, and the son of a bitch, who I have forgiven, showed up the next day, which I threw him out. Threw him out. Get out of here. My parents showed up. I threw them out. Get out. You weren't even. No, get out. I threw everyone out. Didn't want them. So, fast forwarding. Where am I going next? Somehow my parents and I reconcile. Our relationship gets better. And I end up getting married at 21 to one of the nicest guys. One of the guys like that had just been the nicest to me, and that's why I decided I wanted to marry him. I loved him because he was so kind to me. But looking back, I realized I wasn't in love with him. And I really feel like it was me saying, you know, this is, if I don't do this, like, I might not ever find another nice guy like this. So I married him, and we were married for 3 years. I'm trying to think. I don't know, honestly. 3 years or year and a half, but all I know is it wasn't very long. And so I don't want to sit here and like give you my whole life diary, but what I want to say is, you know, from there, it's like I got pregnant again later, a few years later with an older gentleman who totally abandoned, like didn't want anything to do with me. I had an abortion. I was like, and I was seeing actually different men at that time, two guys actually. So it just, for me, sounds fucked up, but it was at that point in my desperation was the easiest way for me to just end all that drama. It was my lesson, though, what I found out years later was my lesson in self-forgiveness, because that child came into my existence, you know, into my tummy for me to learn to love myself again after doing something that I was taught was murder and sin and all that stuff. So, and I actually connect with both my children, a boy and a girl. The one I miscarried and the one I terminated, they guide me every single day. They are part of the Rainbow Crew. They are powerful. And I am so grateful that I learned what I was supposed to learn from that. So, fast forwarding, you know, then, okay, start going to college, get my master's degree in speech pathology, meet my husband, wonderful life. He goes to, you know, Afghanistan or he's gone for 8 years, and I think you're all caught up now. Now with Michael, and it's amazing and glorious, and it's because I said thank you next. I had my list. I looked at each person that had done certain things to me or that I thought had. And I sent blessings to that because every single relationship or situation or experience, I looked at it and said, what were you there to teach me? It wasn't to be a victim and to blame. What was I supposed to learn? What did I learn from that? And so that's today's lesson. Look at it all, everything, everyone. Do you still hold grudge? Do you still hold resentment, anger? Are you still a victim because of someone or something? What are you holding on to? What do you need to see the bigger picture about? And send blessings to the past. One of my favorite songs is Thank You Next by Ariana Grande. And I've included it here in this lesson. I want you to listen to her song. I've included the lyrics so that you can read it and how such a young, beautiful soul. She's so young, but she is so wise. In her song, you're going to hear how, you know, you could look at a situation or a breakup or an ex as one thing, but she chose to look at the lesson, what it taught her. And so we need to look at that. What was this here to teach me? Maybe it's going to teach me that I'm stronger than I ever thought. Maybe it's going to teach me to forgive myself. Maybe it's going to teach me patience. Maybe it's going to teach me to never settle again. Whatever it is. So maybe as you listen to the song that I'm including in this day's lesson, you reflect on those that you are still blaming or hating or angry with or anyone who continues that you continue to give your power away to, because that's all you're doing is giving your power away still. It's time to claim our power. It's time to bless the past. And it's time to say thank you next. I love you so much. Massive healing is happening right now. Namaste.